Looking for an awesome place to host your draft party? Look no further than Hooters. With tons of TVs, free Wi-Fi, world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer, you're probably thinking, it doesn't get any better than that. But wait, at Hooters, it does. Every fantasy league gets a free draft kit and over $200 in Hooters swag. Join us for fantasy football, done Hooters style. Book now at Hooters.com/football. That's Hooters.com/football. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is, of course, presented all season long by Hooters. And we also give a nod to Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, joined us at our largest ever Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft event at Hooters just a couple of weeks ago. We had three leagues going at one time. Sean gets his... You think Packers-Bears to open the season was a big deal? No. Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry Ford, against the sage Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter, the opening game of the Hall of Fame Fantasy League in one of our three podcast leagues. That's the opening game, although Ira made the very aggressive move of benching Aaron Rodgers for Ben Roethlisberger week one. Looks like that might work out since Aaron only had the one touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham. We'll talk about that in a moment, but thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to Hooters for their support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and all we do around here. Remember, my email for all fantasy questions is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Now, remember what I've been telling all of you, putting what Ira did aside. You drafted your starting lineup in week one with rare exception. So if you drafted an RB1 literally days ago and he hasn't played, he hasn't gotten hurt, and suddenly you're thinking of not playing him week one, my question to you is, why the hell did you draft him? Think about that. Nothing's changed. You're saying, well, he was good enough to draft as an RB1 or a wide receiver 1 or an RB2 or a wide receiver 2 or a QB1. But you know what? He's not good enough to start. Huh? Makes no sense to me. Now, the Ira thing might work out. I'm saying there are exceptions, but majority is don't get cute the beginning of the season. What have I said to you for years? When Matthew Berry says don't get cute late in the season or in the playoffs, yes, because you have a sample size. You have trends to go on. Now you don't. Nothing has changed since the time you drafted them to now, unless it involves Ezekiel Elliott or Antonio Brown or Damian Williams. Maybe Will Fuller. Maybe Frank Gore, Devin Singletary. That's about it. That's the list. All right, so before we get into a recap of the opening night game and some overall fantasy observations and more, let me talk about the latest on Antonio Brown. You son of a gun. You've made me recut this podcast. Yes, I know I'm on. This is a new podcast because I cut one literally 3 hours ago, when it looked like Antonio Brown might be suspended by the Raiders, the league, get no money. It would void his $30 million in guarantees. He hasn't received a dollar from the Raiders yet. No, there was no signing bonus. The signing bonus was two $500,000 payments, one this year, one next year, tied to how much he showed up in the offseason. He didn't qualify for the first $500,000 payment. They've paid him nothing to this point. They wouldn't get their draft picks back, but remember, they only gave up, what, a 3 and a 5? So Brown knows that if the Raiders suspend him, or if the league suspends him, or he basically quits, $30 million in guaranteed money is gone. Now, he'd probably get another job, but $30 million in guarantees gone. So this heartfelt apology, apparently, to the team, I don't know if he said it to Mayock with the racist comment he made to Mike Mayock, general manager of the Raiders. Are we getting to the point here where Mayock is just going to throw up his hands and say, John, it's been a pleasure. Gave you everything I had. I got to go. And he goes back to NFL Network. That's where I really think this is headed. Just thinking about it more. Does Mayock really want to deal with this shit? If a player can show him up like this, and Gruden's just, hey, we're moving forward, I'm sure Mike and John have a good relationship. In the end, John has final say. Well, Mike just say, you know what, John, this isn't going to work. I hope you think I've done a good job for you. We've done the draft together. We've done free agency. The games are starting. There's not much more I can do now. Enjoy the rest of the year, and good luck in Vegas. NFL Network would take him back instantly. That's where I got nothing to go on. I'm just wondering, because even players are coming out now against Mike Mayock, like Michael Thomas. And I like Michael Thomas saying, what do you expect from a guy who said there were five other rookies coming out of college better than me? I don't know that this is what Mike Mayock signed up for. So as of right now, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday, now it looks like Antonio Brown could play Monday night, that the Raiders would impose no discipline on him, because if they fine him, he's just going to post it on Instagram again, which led to this last outburst. So apparently they can't do anything to him because he can't handle it, because he seems to have any excuse not to play football for the Raiders. It's gone back and forth. The Vegas line moved 4 points recently. The Raiders were a 1-point favorite. And then Denver became a 3-point favorite. Now I don't know. But from a fantasy standpoint, if you own Antonio Brown, at this point, this is where it gets tricky, because he's playing the last game of the weekend. There are two Monday night games. He's playing in the late one. You either have to commit to not playing anyone else and just hoping nothing else happens, and go in with Antonio Brown, or just sit him. That's what I would advise you to do at this point. Look, I know you drafted him to be your wide receiver one or wide receiver two, but based on everything that has happened with this guy, and it's only Friday, we've got 24. From the time I'm talking now, 24, 72. Almost 80 hours, 79 hours to be exact, before that game kicks off. 77 and a half hours before the inactives go in. Just sit him this week. Seriously, just sit him. He hasn't had a lot of work with Carr anyway. Just sit Antonio Brown this week. So there is an exception on your draft board. Move to the next wide receiver in line that's available. Play them. See what happens on Monday night. I'm not saying cut Antonio Brown. And even if the Raiders did cut him or suspended him, which would void these $30 million in guarantees, you do not cut Antonio Brown, because he could very well resurface this season on another winning team. I could see the Patriots taking a chance on Antonio Brown, just like they did with Randy Moss, just like they did with Ocho Cinco, just like they've done with so many troubled players, as they've done with Josh Gordon. All these situations are different, but I could see them doing that. And there are other teams that might take the chance as well, that think the problem was related to Oakland rather than it was Antonio Brown. I don't agree. But other teams might might say, well, what's the downside to this? All right, so let's move on from Antonio Brown to observations from the Thursday night opener between the Packers and the Bears. Now, I played this in daily as well, DFS, and I can't believe I won four times my entry fee in a contest of roughly a quarter of a million people. I woke up to the fact that it said, your account has been credited. And I literally stared at my phone and said, for what? I didn't have Shockey. I didn't have Crosby. I didn't have the Bears defense. But when you get a bad game like this with so little offense, this was like the Super Bowl, right? We ended last season with a 13-3 game. We start this season with a 10-6 game. Now, I'll give my theories on what this 10-6 game means overall in a second, but let me just talk specifically about why I won money in DraftKings. My lineup was Rodgers, not great. Adams, not good at all. I did have Allen Robinson. I had Eddie Pinheiro. We'll talk more about him. That was 3 points. That's it. Crosby had more. I had the Packers defense. That was good. But I didn't have the Bears defense. They had more sacks. Granted, they gave up 10 points. Packers gave up only 3. So, and I didn't have Shockey. But that's how bad the game was. So my theory on why the game was so bad, because you've got really respected offensive minds running both of those offenses. I'm talking about the guys calling the plays, LaFleur and Nagy. This to me is, you're going to see more of this on Sunday and Monday. And you might even see this trickle into week 2. Most coaches didn't play their full first team offense more than one half in the preseason. The minimalizing of putting first teamers on the field was at an all-time high this year. And I think that hurts the quality of the offense we saw Thursday night, and we will see Sunday and Monday and maybe into week 2. At times, I felt like I was watching Canes and Gators again, right? The jailbreak, and the Packers have a good pass-blocking offensive line. That's about as bad of a night as the Packer left tackle can have. And it just shows you the talent the Bears have to get after quarterbacks. The lack of first-team offensive reps for both Packers and Bears, and I would say for the other 30 teams, may be on display this week. So from a Vegas standpoint, the always unpopular bet the under, I think that's in play a lot this weekend. It also is going to minimize the fantasy points available. Now, it may raise the points of the DSTs, because obviously the Bears DST and the Packers DST did well, even though there were no return touchdowns. And turnovers were minimized. Did we even have one? Was there one? Yeah, well, there was the key pick at the end of the game. When Trubisky threw in the end zone, it was intercepted, and that was it. But I think this will be a trend through the weekend. You'll see more low-scoring games simply because the offenses haven't had enough work together. All right, let's break down some things specifically that I wrote down from a fantasy perspective. If you are if you drafted Aaron Jones to be your RB1 or RB2, you're worried. Jamal Williams got a lot of time last night. Jones went out at one point with an injury, came back. Clearly, the Packers still like Jamal Williams, still see a role for Jamal Williams. Rodgers always kind of put it on Mike McCarthy that he didn't play Aaron Jones enough. Maybe there's more to it. I like Aaron Jones also, but I did worry that he was overvalued this year. Last year, I grabbed him as my fourth running back in the draft because he was facing a 4-game suspension. The value was there. He would come off that suspension, and I knew he was the best running back the Packers had. He still is the best running back the Packers have, but he's not going to play all the time. So the amount of time that Jamal Williams played concerns you if you invested in Aaron Jones as your RB1 or RB2. Speaking of concern, if you invested in Montgomery, my comments here on the podcast and on Gil Alexander's show about how I don't see Tariq Cohen being on a pitch count. Tariq Cohen is one of the best playmakers the Bears have. You know, in a game where points were scarce, yeah, Nagy was going to have Cohen on the field. He put him on returns. He kept him on the field on offense. There were two running backs on the field at a time, even if Cohen wasn't lining up as a true running back. As bad as Trubisky was, Nagy refused to take the ball out of Trubisky's hands and just say, feed Montgomery and let's let him run. Let's let him break all the tackles that he led college football with. Montgomery didn't have a bad game. He just didn't get a lot of opportunities. So if you drafted Montgomery as your RB2, you're concerned right now. And we have a lot of season to go, but it wasn't just Cohen staying on the field. Mike Davis basically had a 1/3 split. So as I have said in the past about Adam Gase being a fantasy killer when he was in Miami, hence red flag on Le'Veon Bell in New York, Nagy's kind of a fantasy killer in Chicago because he's so creative and he wants to use so many people and create all these mismatches that it's hard to tell who's going to get the bulk of the work. In the end, you know, last year, Robinson got fed enough to be a wide receiver 3/3 flex type player, and Cohen. But beyond that, at running back, wide receiver, tight end, really couldn't make a strong case for anybody. So a number of people went in on Montgomery. He might not get enough volume to justify where you drafted him as an RB2. Throwback night for Jimmy Graham, the one guy who scored a touchdown. Don't go running to the waiver wire and pick up Jimmy Graham after week one. Don't do it. Don't. He had 2 touchdowns all of last year. He's going to have roughly that this year. And he just had one, and it didn't help you. There's no reason to run to the waiver wire to grab Jimmy Graham if you're in a tight end mandatory league. Don't. It was a throwback night in an odd game. No, you haven't seen enough. Graham is past his prime. He did hurdle a defender last night. This will be the exception rather than the rule. If you invested in Devontae Adams, as I did in my foundation league as a wide receiver 1, just you tip your hat to the Bears defense and the fact that Adams and Rodgers, although they've worked together a lot, just haven't had a lot of work together. That's it. And Adams was open on the ball that Rodgers threw into the end zone where Graham outmuscled the Bears for it. Adams was standing at the 2-yard line and probably could have caught it and gotten in the end zone. Rodgers just threw into the end zone instead. Adams and Rodgers' connection should be fine, especially when they're not playing the Bear defense and with more work. You're going to have these games with wide receiver ones. The exception for years was Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. And now that's off the rails. Let's talk about Pinheiro a little bit. So most of the offseason in Chicago was the double doink and what do the Bears do going forward? And there was a lot of eyes on Pinheiro last night. And he goes out and he makes his field goal. And after that, it's like the Bears were done. Now, the defense kept playing, but after that, the Bears didn't do squat. And I thought it was very telling. In a 7-3 game, mid-third quarter, the Bears have a 4th-and-10. And instead of putting Pinheiro out, in early September. Weather is no factor. Wind is always a factor at Soldier Field and at Heinz Field. But it's early September. It's not cold. This is the best you're going to get. That field is the best you're going to get. That's a lousy field in general for guys to play on and kick on in Chicago. And Matt Nagy in a 7-3 game, even though Pinheiro made his only field goal attempt, passes on a 51-yard field goal to go on 4th and 10 down 4. That shows you the faith he has in Pinheiro. Or it just simply shows Pinheiro doesn't have range. Like, say, Tucker. Like Fairbairn. Like Butker. Like Maher. And like Zuerlein. So I don't think anything was solved kicking-wise for the Bears. Nagy can't be going on 4th and 10 in one-score games and passing up 51-yard field goals. And you can't use the argument, well, you're giving up the field position if Pinheiro misses. You have the Bear defense. The Packers had one touchdown and then one other drive to get Crosby a shot. That, to me, was very telling. Also, remember, in the Todd Wright Toddcast, please subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast. It's where I talk about basically football without a fantasy angle. I did my playoff preview, and I said I like the Packers more than the Bears to win the NFC North. Game one was already a step in that direction, so they have the head-to-head win on Chicago's home field. The Packers are now home 5 of their next 6. Only exception is a game in Arlington against the Cowboys, and pardon my language, but Aaron fucking Rodgers and the Packers always find a way to beat the damn Cowboys. The Dez Bryant game in the playoffs, Rodgers converting the fourth and 10 or fourth and 20 to get Crosby in range in the playoff game that went where the Cowboys erased leads of 21-3 and 28-10 and 31-28. Yeah, I'm bitter about it. So the Packers honestly could win their next 6 games. They could. They could be 7-0 by the time we get to midseason. Yep. Remember, this Packer team quit on Mike McCarthy at the end of last year. That has been corrected. Whether you believe in LaFleur or not, it's addition by subtraction, whether that's fair on McCarthy or not. Meanwhile, Trubisky had a bad night. And there still should be as many questions about how good the Bears quarterback really is, whether he's a franchise quarterback or just good enough to play in the league and be coached up 2 out of 3 games. Matt Nagy is a good coach, but he seems to have to make things easy on Trubisky. All right, that's enough for now. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, with a tip of the hat to Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford, who plays in one of our fantasy football podcast fantasy leagues. You can send any of your fantasy-related questions to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Do not wait until 11:30 a.m. on Sunday to email me for a 1 o'clock game and expect a response. Don't do that. If you're going to email me questions about Sunday games, send them before you go to bed Saturday night. I play golf on Sundays, and I have other things to do Sunday morning, and I have my own fantasy lineups to set. That's all I ask. Deadline for emails to be returned in time for Sunday games is before you go to bed Saturday night. Okay? We good? Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Follow me on Facebook. I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at Todd Wright 2019. And for golf information, email me if you're in the Tampa Bay area and want to play in one of my golf tournaments, or be on the pre-sale list for the next golf tournament, since Todd Wright Tour 21 later this month has been sold out for weeks. Email ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.